I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. I'm Derek Russell. With me again, Brad Locke. It's Monday, November 30th, the last day of November. Brad, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. I ate and ate, but not too much.
Yeah.
I managed to pace myself, but I did have a lot of pie.
A lot of pie?
I've had a lot of pie. We still got some at the house. No,
like
way.
3.14.
No, I finished it last night. We're finally out of pie.
No more pie.
I ate most of it.
Those numbers do go on for a while.
See what?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, it's a math thing.
You wouldn't get it. It's
I'm
a math
terrible
thing.
At math.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's okay. You make up for it with your rugged good looks.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. This got weird. you're good. yes. Well, Black Friday, did you?
I stayed home.
Partake?
No, actually, I came into work. Yeah. That's what I did.
Yeah, that's good.
That's it. I didn't go anywhere close to places that sell things if I could help it. So.
That's good.
What about you?
I always swore off Black Friday because
yeah.
Why? I mean, there's just no point. Especially now, it starts at like 5 p.m. Thursday. From the commercials I saw this year, everybody was open at like 5 p.m. Thursday. So at least there's no need to get up at 3 a.m. and go to the places anymore. Where I go for Thanksgiving is a ghost town, and there's a Walmart and a Target, but there's nobody in town, so nobody does Black Friday shopping.
What?
So I stroll in about 10, 11 a.m. on Friday, and everything's still there.
Where is this?
No, if I give the secret out, everybody will.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I just go and partake of the deals and the $5 DVDs, and I got several seasons of to complete DVD sets and $5 and a little vinyl, and I'm good.
I didn't do a lick of Black Friday shopping.
It's fine. I don't want to contribute to it, you know, because it's Black Friday. But if nobody's there, it's kind of like,
Might as well. Whatever.
If you don't have to fight a crowd and you're not getting up at 3 a.m., it's kind of like just going to Walmart anyway, which is still a sin. But, you know, as long as you partake in Small Business Saturday, you're okay to go Black Friday shopping.
I went and bought some new tennis shoes last week, but I bought them on Wednesday because I'm like, I could probably get an even better deal on Friday, but I don't care. I'll spend the money.
What is that, Gray Wednesday? Off-white?
I don't know.
Wednesday.
Mother of Pearl.
It's kind of a
groove.
It may have been a crimson. That was Saturday.
I don't know. I mean, at the rate we're going, I don't know how much longer they're even going to call it Thanksgiving. You know,
it's
Black Thursday.
Black,
and before you know it, it's going to be like Black Halloween and just go on the whole month of November, start Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
So did you watch the Egg Bowl, Derek?
Silence.
there was a noise there. Yeah, I watched it.
I did too. I was a little bit surprised at the way things went down. I was expecting a tight game the whole way. Then Ole Miss jumps ahead 28-3 at one point, and State could not recover. And it started kind of ominously for State because it was the first possession, I think, when Prescott fumbled it. Yeah,
it's sad that the Iron Bowl was a more interesting game.
It really was, wasn't it?
After
it was still competitive into the second half.
It was. Up until the end, it really was. I mean, they still put up a fight. It was not. So that was actually enjoyable to watch. The Iron Bowl was just because things actually happened.
Yeah.
The only thing that happened in Starkville on Saturday night was MSU getting steamrolled.
That's three of the last 4 years Ole Miss has won it.
That's
Hugh Freeze has Dan Mullen's number, it would appear.
So we're due at some point.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, Ole Miss is going to lose probably guys like Laquon Treadwell and Laramie Tunsil and Robert Kimdichie to the NFL draft. I think they'd be kind of foolish not to go.
I think the charm of it, especially for Ole Miss fans, and I'm not one to bash Ole Miss at all. I'm good with a little team rivalry, but, you know, it's good. And I agree with what Free said with, you know, Ole Miss going to a bowl. It's good for Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Either way. While I'm good with the rivalry, going into it was pretty much anybody's game.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night.
I mean, it
was heavy-handed either way. And Ole Miss just wanted it more in the end, more than Mississippi State did. And I say that as a Mississippi State fan.
Well, that and Mississippi State's offensive line is just, I mean, they've had guys hurt. Rufus Warren was out, one of their tackles. And honestly, that offensive line has never been a strong point for that offense over the years. It's never been much better than mediocre, in my opinion. But
So seeing what we saw, I mean, it was just when I going into it, I expected it to be a real back and forth battle all the way to the end, and it was not.
And I was surprised Prescott didn't play better. Again, that partly goes back to the line. He got sacked 7 times, but then that fumble at the beginning, that was, and then the interception after that, that was a little bit surprising from him.
I wanted more for him in his last season game.
Yeah.
He's a good kid. He's one of the best, just best guys.
Yeah.
Remember going back to his, I think it was his red shirt freshman year. I'm trying to remember. They were preparing for a bowl game. That was back when I was covering MSU for the Journal, and freshmen don't normally talk to the media until a certain point, and so this was bowl prep, and they finally let us talk to Dak. And after it was done, we all just kind of walked away, just kind of like, wow, this kid's got it together. Very, very well spoken, very polite and respectful, just a good dude, and not to mention a heck of an athlete. And of course, he's gone through a lot, lost his mother not too long ago to cancer, and so. You know, he's a guy that you have to root for, I think, even if you're not a State fan.
Yeah, right. And we'll miss watching him play on Saturdays.
Yeah, certainly.
Brad, how's the outlook looking now for the two teams? And obviously, you're both going to get a pretty good bowl game.
Yeah, I'd heard some buzz before the game that the Gator Bowl was looking at State. I think maybe the Texas Bowl. I don't know how the loss affects that. And now Ole Miss could be lined up to get into the Sugar Bowl. One of the big payout bowl games, because that typically goes to the second best SEC team. Florida won the East. You're expecting Alabama to beat Florida in the SEC championship game. They'll go to the playoff. Florida lost to Florida State. They'll probably lose to Bama. That really bolsters Ole Miss's case to get that Sugar Bowl spot instead of Florida, even though Florida did win the head-to-head down in Gainesville. But that was early in the season, so you know, you don't hang all that on one game. So could be that seems to be the general consensus that if Florida loses to Bama, as expected, Bama should be a pretty heavy favorite in Atlanta. Then Ole Miss kind of be the favorite to get the get that bid. And remember, Ole Miss did beat Bama for what that's worth.
I guess it's too early to even project who they could be playing if they were even in that game, because there's no there's not another conference tie-in, right? It would just be another at-large pick.
I'm not sure.
I mean, everything's changed so much. It's hard to keep
with
up
the playoff,
with it.
And now, you know, I don't cover college football, so I don't follow it quite as closely as I used to. But, yeah, there's still going to be some shakeups with the playoff, you know, because I can't remember which bowls are in the rotation for the playoff games, obviously not the Sugar Bowl, because Ole Miss has a shot at that. So you could have a team that's currently in the top four end up in the Sugar Bowl if they don't win their conference championship or whatever.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Still got
like a Clemson if they were to lose North Carolina.
Yeah, you got the ACC championship, you got the Big Ten championship, Big 12 does not have one. Of course, the SEC game with Alabama and Florida coming up this coming weekend. So still, good season for the Dogs, Derek. 8-4, it's about what I figured they'd do considering some of the losses they had. 8 wins is good for them. I know it's not what you want. Expectations have been raised, especially after last year winning 10 games. But, again, with this group coming in, I figured 7-8 wins would be good.
I just get tired of the hate on both sides. It gets old to me. You know, it's a game, and it's basically a game of tag. Everybody's just death threats and everything else and making fun of coaches. It gets really
old and stale.
Well,
it's the same stuff every year.
It's tiring.
There's nothing original.
I can't stand it. I'm not one to badmouth either team. I mean, you know, obviously it stinks. It's good that, you know, that one of them can win. Obviously, one of them has to win. But for Mississippi, it's good to have that, and that one of them can go on and represent the state in some bowl, or hopefully both in this case. I'm sure. I mean, obviously,
State will get a decent
MSU's
bowl.
MSU's going to get a bowl out of this. So.
What about also, we were talking about Dak Prescott, of course, and the NJ's career in Starkville, but does he have much of a chance of getting invited to New York for the Heisman?
Yeah, I don't know. I think coming into this game, there was certainly some buzz. Now, he was a little bit more under the radar than I thought he should be considering his recent performances. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still, to me, kind of a wide-open Heisman race. Yeah. I have no idea. Ezekiel Elliott is from Ohio State. Running back is a leading candidate.
Derrick Henry's got to be a strong candidate, especially after the performance in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, Alabama. I mean, there's a half dozen different guys easily that you could say, okay, he deserves to win it. So, you know, they invite a different number each year. Could be 3 guys. I think this year it'll be closer to 5 guys.
Yeah.
Maybe they invite just because it's such a wide open race. But going back to Dak after that game, I would not expect him to get the invite.
Sure.
I mean, he still had a heck of a season. You don't want to base it all on one game, But that was a big game. You had the Alabama game that didn't go so well either. Sure. So anyway, so we got other stuff besides the Egg Bowl to talk about today, Derek. Speaking of
hopefully
Black Friday, today is Cyber Monday, and Dennis Sid, business reporter, is going to be in here in just a bit.
Can we just start assigning days of the week names?
Sure.
Wednesday is Brad Wednesday.
This Wednesday is, anyway.
Every Wednesday for me is Brad Wednesday.
Birthday, I'm not sure how extravaganza. To
take that. It's fine. It's a compliment. Just okay. Accept it and move on. What's Don't make Tuesday? It weird.
Tuesday is like the most underappreciated day of the week. There's nothing special about it. Monday's Monday. Everybody hates Monday. Wednesday's hump day. You're halfway through the week. Thursday, basically, you know, a lot of people start their weekend on Thursday. It's the weekend eve. Then you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the weekend. Tuesday gets nothing.
Tuesday is rough for me. Tuesday is my big deadline day, so that's when I'm wrapped up pretty much
all
day. I'm glad we don't do a podcast on that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I don't enjoy sitting in the room with you for 14 hours, both of you. But I don't know. In a way, it's kind of a nice break because it's kind of just put my headphones on and work day.
Yeah, I like those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll donut, be glad when Donut Tuesday.
Donut there Tuesday. Donut Tuesday.
We're starting it.
If I'm stressed over the next 2 weeks, please forgive me. It is the final push to A Christmas Carol.
Oh, the play.
Yes. That Brad.
That was going to be in, but I got too busy. I'll be in the next one, maybe.
Who said you're going to get invited to the next one?
I'll try out for the next one.
You can try out. I don't know.
Then you can embarrass me in front of everyone. You're cut.
Lockie.
Oh, Lockie. I'm sorry. And you are? Name. We sit by each other every morning. We do a podcast together. Yeah, it's not ringing any bells for me.
You just read your lines.
Yeah, just. Yeah.
Watch out, he'll throw a chair at you.
I will. Oh, it'll happen. It's going to be a rough 2 weeks, but we're going to get it done. So I hope everybody will come out December 10th through 12th at the Lyric.
Yes.
And bring the classic Dickens tale to life. Up first, we're joined by Bobby Harrison, our Daily Journal Jackson Bureau reporter. Bobby, how are you doing today?
All right, doing great. What about you?
Doing well, sir. Glad to have you on again. Talk to me a little bit about these impending tax cuts we may be talking about.
Well, I did a story over Thanksgiving weekend, just that the governor and lieutenant governor are both at least contemplating trying to push tax cuts through during the 2016 session. Tate Reeves, the lieutenant governor, campaigned on that during his re-election bid earlier this year. And the governor, Brian, also made it clear that he favored some type of tax cut. What is significant about this is that, during the past four-year term, the legislature and the governor enacted probably over 20 tax cuts, no broad-based tax cut, but more than 20 tax cuts. It probably is going to have well over a $300 million impact on the general fund. And during the current fiscal year, as you well know, revenue is not coming in as expected, raising the prospects of possible mid-year budget cuts. I mean, it's not a strong likelihood at this point, but it is a likelihood. And if the revenue continues to be sluggish there, the likelihood of mid-year budget cuts increases, yet they still believe that additional tax cuts should be on the agenda for a 2016 session. So we'll see. That's going to be one of the important issues during the 2016 session, whether there are more tax cuts or whether they sort of stand back and see what the revenue is going to do during the next couple of years.
So of the original plan, which was about $400 million annually to be reduced at state revenue level, not coming to fruition in 2015 and then changed by a later proposal, how does that influence 2016?
Well, there's the main tax cut they're looking at for the upcoming session would be the phase out of the so-called business franchise tax, and that is a tax that most businesses pay on a percentage they pay based on their size, and they would it's kind of a complex formula, but they pay based on their capital, their employees, and their investments. It's a tax on all those pretty much what a business owns or is responsible for, And some people, the people pushing for the elimination of that tax say a lot of states don't have it, and it makes us non-competitive or not as competitive when it comes to economic development. Others would argue that that the tax is needed because many business companies that do business in the state don't pay it. They're able to get out of paying a regular income tax. At any rate, it would be about a $255 million hit to the state general fund. They're talking about phasing that in. Earlier, during the previous four-year term, they eliminated or reduced significantly the inventory tax that businesses pay, and that would have a $126 million impact for the upcoming budget year that starts July 1st.
Bobby, when do you think, I know in your story I'd say that Tate Reeves is still working on his agenda and hasn't released it yet. When do you think he may come out and outline his plan?
That's a good question. I don't know if he'll do that. I mean, he could easily wait. I mean, until sometimes in the session. This is the first session of a new four-year term, so technically this session is supposed to be 125 days, while the other three sessions are in the four-year term are supposed to be 90-day sessions. Now, with the governor, the speaker, and the lieutenant governor all being the same from the previous four-year term, I doubt they're probably going to try to trim some days off that 125-day session, but still, he'll have plenty of time to wait until the session begins if he so chooses to release his tax cut agenda. If you recall, Chris, he didn't release his tax cut proposal during the 2015 session until well into the session. The deadlines to take up revenue bills such as tax cuts are a little bit later than it is for the deadline to take up general bills that don't deal with reducing or increasing taxes or issuing bonds. Now, as you recall, during the 2015 session, his broad-based tax cut plan that included the business franchise tax, as I mentioned earlier, a cut in the personal income tax, and those were not released until in the midst of the 2015 session. So it wouldn't surprise me he didn't do the same thing in 2016, way until early in the session. When the focus is on the legislative session to do that, but that's just a guess on my part.
And of course, Phil Gunn had also called for the phase out of the income tax last year, and so
yeah, it was
that
like
could be back again.
After Lieutenant Governor Reeves announced his original proposal, which would have been about off the top of my head, about a $400 million hit to the general fund over 10 years. The House leadership, Philip Gunn, got behind a proposal by House Member Brad Mayo from Oxford that would completely eliminate the personal income tax over a period of years. Now, that was a huge proposal. The income tax is not the largest source of state revenue, but it's the second largest source. And if you completely eliminate the income tax, that's little less than a third of the total state general fund revenue, so that would have been a huge impact to the general fund. And of course, I don't know, there was probably a lot of factors involved, but Brad Mayo, who was the primary author of that legislation, House member from Oxford, he was the only Republican incumbent defeated in a general election back in November.
Lastly, Bobby, just kind of looking at the big picture on some of this too, you kind of got into in your story. You know, this comes right after the defeat of Initiative 42. It also comes at a time when, as you said, that they're looking at revenue collections have been sluggish a little bit, and there's the possibility of some budget cuts coming next year if that continues. I know that some of the school funding supporters have, said that, well, maybe these tax cuts are to blame for why the revenue's sluggish and why the schools haven't gotten their funding and so forth. I guess the bigger picture, the bigger issue right now is that you kind of got into you at the end of your story is kind of the philosophical debate on whether by cutting taxes you lead to more growth, which gives you more revenue, or by having more taxes you have more revenue to spend. And that's kind of where the debate's going to be, would you say?
Yeah, that's the old age-old debate, Chris. People who oppose a lot of these tax cuts reference Kansas, where the political leadership there have made massive budget cuts. I mean, not massive income tax cuts, which have led to massive budget cuts. I mean, it's really affected government in Kansas, affected the school systems, and the leadership in Mississippi has argued, no, we're not going that far. We're not, you know, they say the tax cuts that they propose will spur growth. Others say it won't. And there's, both sides make their points, but the fact is that the tax cuts that they've proposed and passed so far, it does not appear that those tax cuts have spurred growth to this point. I mean, you just look, collections in Mississippi are running behind collections in other states. Our economy is not performing as well as economies in other states, at least it has in the past couple of years. I mean, the jury is still out on what it's going to do this year, but it has in the past couple of years. So that's to add to that, the supporters of the school initiative 42 say, all during the summer and leading up to the election on the initiative in November, the leadership was saying, if you pass this initiative, we're going to cut other agencies to fund the schools. Yet the same people were saying we had to cut other agencies to fund public schools. If the initiative passes, are now saying let's cut taxes. So they're saying you're kind of trying to have it both ways. So that's some of the issues that we faced as the. And of course, the people who tried to pass the initiative will still be trying to get more money for the schools during the 2016 session. So you have tax cuts versus school funding, and the lieutenant governor says you can do both. So we'll see how that plays out during the 2016 session.
Yeah, well, it'll be an interesting session as it always is. Yes. Thanks for joining us, Bobby.
Thank you.
Okay, we talked about Black Friday, top of the show, and here to discuss that with us is Dennis Sid, business editor. What's up?
Good morning. I'm bitter, real bitter.
Oh, yeah, well, so's Derek. Y'all can cry on each other's shoulders about the Egg Bowl.
Boy, I will come over there.
Just saying.
I need a new cowbell to smash against somebody's head.
Did you use up the
Did
other
you break
one?
The other one?
No, I rung it loudly and proudly.
I started it actually Saturday, but then I thought in solidarity we'll just let it be.
This is your son's first Egg Bowl.
There, so.
This is your son's first Egg Bowl, wasn't it?
It was. It was his first Egg Bowl. We were disappointed with the results. Having the obnoxious University of Mississippi fan behind us who managed to spill his drink twice was outstanding.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know.
I hope you're listening, sir.
Been called out. So anyway.
We shall shame you further.
How did Black Friday go? Everybody get back into the black?
Well, I was out there early to see how things were going, and I think...
How early?
Well, not that early for some. I was out there at 8 o'clock. Others were there, Thanksgiving Day, so... So late in the day for a lot of folks.
Was anything happening that... I mean, with everything opening, it seemed like Thursday night. That's what we were talking about earlier.
That's the deal. Now that everybody seems to want to open earlier, from Thanksgiving at 7 o'clock to midnight to 3 p.m., 3 a.m., it sort of spread out the crowds across Black Friday. So there's not that big, huge crowd anymore. I mean, certainly there are people out, but there's not that big rush of customers that, say 4 or 5 years ago that I got to be a part of. It was almost like a normal day, holiday, weekend day at the mall. Then this was about 10 o'clock when I went out there. It picked up during the day, but it seems like as these deals that the retailers put out their deals earlier in the month and earlier in the week, again, it's spread out and you just don't have that rush anymore, which is good if you don't want to get caught in a big crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the two sides of it. A, it kind of spreads it out. It's not as crazy for everybody. But on the other hand, people are opening on Thanksgiving. A lot of people have a problem with that. But I don't think that's a trend that's going to abate, is it?
No, I mean, you had one retailer, REI, who decided not to open on Thanksgiving or Black Friday, but there are no REI stores here in Mississippi, but it's an outdoorsy store, and it fit their niche quite nicely. But it looks like about $4.5 billion was spent just online on Thanksgiving and Black Friday.
So we got some numbers here.
Yeah. This story is from the AP and it's mostly about online shopping. Today is Cyber Monday, which is something the National Retail Federation.
I didn't get either of you anything. I'm so sorry.
You can order all day.
Oh.
All day long.
I'm probably not going to.
Up to 11:59, you're good.
I'm probably not going to get you anything, Dennis. I'm sorry.
Hey, we'll talk about it later.
It's fine.
But this is something National Retail Federation came up with 10 years ago to push online sales. And Again, it's expected to be the biggest online shopping day ever. They're thinking $3 billion in sales. That's billion with a B. But
it's a lot of cheese.
That's a lot of cheese and crackers. online shopping, you know, is taking a hit on the brick and mortar shopping.
Right.
That's folks that go to stores, for those who don't know about brick and mortar. but it looks like sales fell to about $10.4 billion this year on Black Friday. That's down from $11.6 billion. Still a lot of cheese.
At all. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Have a little wine with that cheese.
I didn't even feel it.
I'm proud to say I didn't spend a single dime on Black Friday.
Yeah, do you really? I've heard people say you don't necessarily get the best deals on Black Friday.
No,
is that
you
true?
Don't get the best deals.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
You don't have those doorbuster deals. You can get the 16-inch TV for $500, and you'll get the $129 sofa. I mean, those are limited offers. I mean, though, that's just to get you in the store because you'll see something. Oh, I think I want that.
Look, yeah. That looks like a good deal.
I mean,
but it's not.
You're going to find deals throughout the holiday season, Christmas season, for those who are insulted. but
either
if you want to be a part of the madness and get that great deal, it's not a problem.
You mentioned it was like a regular holiday crowd out at the mall.
A regular weekend crowd, right.
Yeah. And for the next, what is it, how many weekends we have? Three weekends before Christmas?
Yeah. 3 weekends.
Yep. Yeah, the 5th. It was a Saturday, 12th. Yeah, so we got 3 weekends. It's going to be like that. Pretty much
that
like
that is terrifying.
This past weekend, basically, it's going to be the same way the next 3 weekends. And you'll see it pick up probably during the week, the closer we get
to. Yeah, you know, the Saturday before Christmas is usually, you know, one of the busiest shopping days of the year. You know, Black Friday has historically been the busiest day. It's now one of the biggest days. I don't know if it still is or not. But, yeah, there's still going to be a lot of people out shopping, no matter where you go. And you know, you have, don't forget your local retailers. You know,
yeah.
The Saturday was Small Business Saturday, which is something that our friends at American Express started six years ago.
Yeah.
And some of the numbers out of there was 95 million consumers shopped on Small Business Saturday. Spent about, $16.2 billion, up 14% from last year. So,
good deal.
Big cheese.
Lots of cheese.
So Christmas is on a Friday, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So that's going to be interesting because you mentioned the last Saturday beforehand, but it's going to be...
It'll be busy all the way through. I mean, Christmas Eve, I mean, I used to do retail, and this is a time of year where I'm glad I'm no longer in retail.
Yeah.
And be kind to those folks out there because...
Yeah, seriously, my wife worked retail for a while. She's not right now because she just had the baby, but yeah, it's... I remember one time she was working two jobs. She worked like a shift from like, I don't know, 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. and then 2 hours later had to go to her other job at 6 and work another full shift. And you get retail people doing that kind of stuff, and it's hard on them. So yes,
I remember getting dog cussed at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve at a store I was working at, and I was locking the doors, and people were upset that we were closing. It's like, you know, 9 o'clock Christmas Eve, we want to get home too. But
it's amazing how much restraint that the retail workers show in not punching people in the face.
That showed me why I need to find a new career. So.
Yeah, there you go. Dennis, good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Go Dawgs.
That is completely terrifying that Christmas is so close.
Yeah.
Seems like it gets closer every year. I mean, I know realistically on the calendar.
What happens when you get older, Derek?
Well, I guess.
Trust me.
I guess when you get more cynical, too, you know,
it doesn't make
you as happy as it did as a child.
No, not really.
There's no.
I mean, I still enjoy Christmas and everything.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just a pain in the butt.
Mostly, yes. Yeah. I understand why my parents were so angry.
Yeah.
When I was a child. I'm
Where's
just kidding.
Your holiday cheer?
Get the good spirit.
Kids out of school for 2 weeks. We got to spend a whole lot of money. No, I'm not happy. What are you thinking?
Hallelujah. Pass the Tylenol.
Yeah, pass the Tylenol. Speaking of Santa.
Santa?
We weren't. We were talking about Christmas. But Santa is coming to the Journal.
He sure is.
Very soon. When is that happening,
Brad? That is going to be, December 7th through the 9th. That is next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 4 to 6 p.m. on that Monday and Tuesday. 3 to 5 on that Wednesday. Bring your letters to Santa. Give them to him personally.
Right here at the Daily Journal.
1242 South Green Street. If you haven't written a letter by the time you've gotten here, we'll give you some paper and
a
pencil.
I'm sure we could find some paper around here somewhere.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I'm only buy it by the roll. So, Yeah, so bring the kids up here. Free pictures,
yeah,
professional picture quality photos. Lauren Wood, I believe, will be taking photos of the kids with Santa. You can get those, again, no cost.
Going to be a good time for everybody involved. Don't miss that.
Yes.
Did you see my story in the paper today, Brad?
I did, about the Goodnight Tupelo.
The Goodnight Tupelo, speaking of Christmas gifts that you should be looking for coming up, a new children's book all about Tupelo and locations within will be available at Reed's on December 22nd.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good story.
Of course it's a good story.
You wrote it. Because I wrote it. It was cool story to write. How about put it like that?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
It's going to win some awards.
The book, yes. Not my story. Brittany Rogers had the idea. It's a series. You're familiar with Goodnight Moon.
Oh, yeah. I read that book many times.
From the 1940s. There's a Goodnight Atlanta, Goodnight Memphis. There's a bunch of different city books. Tupelo, the latest in the line of that. Brittany Rogers, who wrote this particular one, had seen the other books. I think even her friend wrote Goodnight Memphis and was thinking about how perfect Tupelo is for this setting because of all the iconic things that residents and people who aren't even residents of Tupelo are familiar with, Elvis and things of that nature. But there's a lot of things that aren't even locations that are iconic. And I didn't even think about the journal, the Daily Journal boxes.
Those green Daily Journal boxes.
That's a very iconic thing within Tupelo and within Lee County to see as you're driving down the road. So it's not necessarily just specific locations as much as it is just familiar sites of the area.
Right.
And it's brought to life wonderfully by watercolor artist Brent Farrar, who just did a stellar job. He had 24 brand new illustrations from the Bancorp South Arena to Reed's to the Fair Park statue to the new Elvis statue at the birthplace. The list goes on and on. So they collaborated on this. They've been working on it since late April, early May. And I think it's a 5,000 copy run of the book and will be first available at Reed's on December 22nd.
I need to get a copy.
You do.
I got a little baby.
You can go ahead and pre-order now. They're going to be there signing all day on December 22nd, the book. So it's a good time to stop by, pick yours up, and get them to sign. And then after the holidays and the initial run, it's going to be open to anybody who wants to sell the book locally.
Cool.
Within stores.
Good deal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, we're excited about that. You mentioned the series, and we've kind of gotten into some of those just in different travels. We've got a Goodnight New Orleans. You know, being my hometown, we've got a Goodnight Beach. We've got a Goodnight Boston. And so, you know, we've kind of said before, it'd be cool if Tupelo ever comes out with one. So
here you go.
Yeah.
Only a few weeks away. I think they were trying to get it out earlier for the holiday, but obviously best laid plans and things of that nature. But they will have it in time for Christmas. And as I said, go ahead and pre-order yours. Go by Reed's, call Reed's downtown, and go ahead and get your copy now. They will be available on that day.
I was going to say, if you need, you know, for the kids, you know, to understand Tupelo better and their hometown. But, you know, we've also talked, it's kind of neat, you know, maybe giving it to my nephew or my godson in New Orleans, or, you know, to kind of know a little bit more about, you know, this is what Tupelo is like, and, you know, that they don't get to come up here much and appreciate, you know, more where we live.
Yeah, definitely. One of the iconic things you won't be seeing in those pages, though, is Brad's tip sheet crime reports.
No mugshots.
I was going to say it should be the addendum, something at the end, you know, the forward somewhere in there, but you won't be finding it. But where you can find it is here on the memo and at tipsheets.djournal.com.
Tipsheet.djournal.com.
Just one?
Just one sheet.
That's why I can never get it to pull up. I just thought you blocked me on it. Tipsheet.djournal.com.
Yeah.
Hey, here's something iconic while we're talking about that, because I'm on the Daily Journal's website, and this ad just popped up. Daily Journal umbrellas.
Oh, man.
We can still get those
things. The cartoon umbrellas?
That's so great.
I didn't know they still made them.
you need to come up to the Daily Journal and get one of these if you don't already. That's a fantastic
thing. Especially this
week,
because it's not going to stop raining until Wednesday or Thursday.
100% chance of rain.
It's terrible. I hate it. I just want to.
It's just drizzle. It's not even rain.
I know. And that makes it even worse. Like, just stop for 2 minutes. It hasn't stopped since like Saturday night.
That is an iconic thing to me.
But yeah, it is. I need to get one because I don't have an umbrella.
Yeah, me neither.
Seriously, I don't.
Well, there you go. Well, it makes the perfect holiday gift.
I'll stop by the front desk, see what I can do.
Yes.
But anyway, crime reports. It's Monday.
At tipsheet.
DJournal.com. Last week being a holiday week, we didn't have many police reports, only a couple of days worth, but we still have some good ones.
We save those up for Black Friday when people act ignorant.
Yeah, so we should have some new ones coming in today. So look for that on the blog later this evening. Okay.
Look how you expect it. We should have some stupidity coming in later.
Oh, it's inevitable.
Stand by.
Yeah, plenty of holiday shenanigans, I'm sure. A Morville man said he was walking home after 1 a.m. Not a great idea to be walking down the road at 1 a.m., but you do what you got to do. When two different gold Chevy Z71 pickups tried to assault him. I actually assume the drivers tried to assault him with the pickups, but you get the idea.
Transformers.
He said the first truck tried to run him down. The second truck, or the occupant of the truck, fired two shots as it passed. He was unable to describe the driver or any passengers. So you've got not just two Chevy Z71 pickups, two gold Chevy Z71 pickups. Somebody, like, on purpose bought matching Z71s.
And really, isn't that the real crime in this story?
How cute is that?
It's fine.
Must be a couple.
Okay.
Or something.
I'll give you that.
I don't know. So, I mean, it could have been the same one if they came by at different times.
That's true. If it was going two different directions.
Yeah, well, you know.
Potentially.
Turned around. I don't know. Anyway, a Presley Drive man said his son stole $40 in coins from his bedroom. The boy said he spent the money.
Coinstar operator?
The boy said he spent the money on snacks at school. So the kid's school age. He might be in high school, but like you're calling the cops about this.
He bought $40 worth of snacks in the vending machine.
I don't know over what span of time he spent this money.
I tell you what, he is. He's the king of that class. He's passing them out,
throwing M&Ms and Twizzlers all over the place.
They're putting a tunic around him and a crown. They're hailing him all kinds of things.
Ready for class president?
Seriously, he won. There's no running.
Yeah.
He just went to the top.
But who has $40 worth of coins?
If Jeb Bush shut up and just started throwing out Whoppers, he'd get all kinds of votes.
Well, most politicians do throw out Whoppers this time
you.
Of year.
That was good. Why didn't I think of that?
There we go.
Knocked it out of the park, Lockie. It's your birthday week. We'll give you that one.
Sure is. One more. A woman said she picked up a female on the side of the road and agreed to take her across town. That's nice. Charitable of her. The woman stopped at Connie's Chicken on South Gloucester.
I smell something afoul here.
She stopped at Connie's and went inside. When she returned to the vehicle, the passenger was gone, and so was a floor jack, some Craftsman tools, and the factory stereo out of her Ford Explorer.
Well, she moved fast.
She last saw the suspect walking north on Gloucester with a male.
And the stuff?
I guess, and didn't try to run her down, or not run her over, but you know what I mean.
Run through that list of what she got again for me.
A floor jack, some tools, and a stereo. I'm assuming the guy was helping her carry
this. What time of day did they go to Connie's? Because if it was early, I understand there being a line, but you had time to get the stereo out and all this stuff.
Let's know what you're doing.
She's a pro.
I guess so. That's what you get for helping people.
That's what you get for leaving somebody in your car.
Well, should have hit the drive-thru.
There's a drive-thru at Connie's.
Yeah, there is.
You still have your stereo.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We got a couple of mug shots, which, again, you can't see on the podcast, but just the names.
But it drives traffic to tipsheet.djournal.com.
We got a couple of really, really good names this week. We got a Billy Lee Johnson in Marshall County facing drug charges, and his mullet is beautiful.
Leopold Johnson.
Look at that,
oh,
Derek. It's beautiful. A beautiful
man. Is
that
a man bun? That is business in the front, party in the back. If
it sure
I've ever
is.
Seen it.
All kinds of partying
good
in the back.
Good for him. Good for him.
And
hey,
then,
if you can grow it, I'm just going to shut up right there.
You'll like this one, Derek. This guy's name, Bradley Wayne South. Bradley Wayne. As we've mentioned on the podcast before, my friend Pete, whose real name was Daniel, back in high school, called me Bradley Wayne for no apparent reason. And, of course, my old radio DJ name.
So this is you.
No, this is not me. He looks kind of sad, though, doesn't he? Looks kind of sad, Bradley Wayne.
He's crying.
Wayne's crying in the mugshot.
What did he do?
A violation of probation. So this ain't his first rodeo. I think he'd be used to it.
It was probably an accident. You know, you can accidentally violate probation. I don't know.
You ever slept and forgot to check in? Who knows? It happens. Bradley Wayne, and his last name's South. That's great.
I feel bad for Bradley Wayne. He obviously
he looks like a nice kid.
He made a mistake. We'll fail for you.
Hope things improve for you, Bradley Wayne South.
Just watch those.
We like your name, if nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's staring in.
We are not a zoo.
That was a kid. Bringing kids here like it's the zoo.
Oh, she's throwing peanuts at us.
Well, I'll eat those. Heck. That's
anything
it.
Else? That's it.
That's for it,
another,
man.
Another roundabout, huh? All right, well. You know who gets tipsheet.djournal.com online, don't you? Thrive Marketing.
They do. I use Thrive Marketing.
You do? Well, I guess you technically do.
You need to check them out. They're a full-service digital marketing company located right here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms.
You do that so well.
I've gotten through it several times in recent weeks without screwing it up.
What's Double Coverage going to be talking about now?
I don't know. I guess, well, I'm sure they'll talk about the Egg Bowl again, just reviewing it one last time. And looking ahead to the bowl possibilities. We mentioned the Sugar Bowl, maybe, for Ole Miss. And
sure.
So Parrish and Logan will, I guess, be back on the air Thursday. You can find it at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Also, iTunes or your podcast app. So check out our Ole Miss and State beat reporters on there. Okay. It's a good show, Derek.
You think so?
It's a good show for a Monday.
I guess we have to ask the producer that. Is it a good show, producer?
It's not bad. Not bad.
Okay. That's Chris Kiefer, by the way.
Going to let him reel us in there a little bit.
Chris is on the Twitter.
The cloud. He is at Chris Kiefer.
So am I, at Brad Locke.
And I'm at W. Derek Russell. Yeah.
And the show is on Twitter at DJournalMemo. We have an email, too. What's that email again, Chris?
memo@journalinc.com.
That's okay.
Ink with a C.
Yeah, as in incorporated.
Incorporated.
So send us your emails just about whatever. Just comments on the show and how much you adore us.
Questions you want us to tackle.
Questions you want us to tackle.
If we'll you want us to go to your Abbey and want some advice, we'll offer advice
on love, life, and other things.
Yeah. Here's some advice. If you have trouble making friends, steal $40 worth of coins and go buy food out of the vending machine and give it to
everybody. Works every time.
That kid is a genius. All right. And you can read about all the stories today and over the weekend in your daily journal or online at djournal.com.
Yeah.
Also, the latest in breaking news at DJournal Now on Twitter. We're also on Facebook.
Sure are. Check it out.
So
updating constantly.
Kids walking by again throwing peanuts at us. All right.
Seriously.
We'll be back again on Wednesday with a brand new episode.
See
Until
you then.
Yeah. Bye. See ya. Bye. We just talk over each other.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Bye.